live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, broadcaster Gay Byrne has passed away at the age of 85. A victim of clerical sex abuse has asked the Bishop of Raphoe to meet with himself, a number of other victims and the Chief Superintendent in Donegal to discuss the best way to handle allegations made in a TJ Cahir documentary broadcast last week. There's a risk of a prior military style murder similar to that of Liam McKee's being repeated, according to a group of leading experts. And a Donegal deputy believes that the public service obligation contract for Donegal Airport cannot be underestimated. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin. But first in news, RTE broadcaster Gay Byrne has died. He was aged 85. A statement issued this afternoon says Mr. Byrne died peacefully at home, surrounded by his family. Mr. Byrne had close associations with Donegal, maintaining a holiday home in Dunloe for many years. He was best known as the face of the Late Late Show, which he presented from 1962 until 1999. More recently, he served a period as chair of the Road Safety Authority. Niall Colbert has been looking back at his life.
Born in 1934, Gay Byrne would go on to forge a legendary career in Irish broadcasting, which touched the lives of millions. Starting out with a 15-minute slot on Radio Éireann, he would go on to work in the UK for both Granada and the BBC before landing his defining role. In July 1962, The Late Late Show premiered.
And here is your host, Gay Byrne.
Although conceived as a light entertainment show, the programme never shied away from subjects which challenged the views of a very conservative Ireland.
The condom is made of rubber, whether you knew it or not. There are two main types. On the left, a condom with a teat. On the right, plain without a teat.
Viewers were captivated. Whether it was the Bishop and the Nighty scandal, Byrne's compassionate response to calling a competition winner whose daughter had just died, and the host's refusal to shake Gerry Adams' hand. Byrne would also give a platform for Irish artists such as U2, Sinead O'Connor and Boyzone.
And knowing that you don't play, you don't sing and you can't write music, I thought you'd go very far, but now you've wrecked the whole thing, you see.
Gay Byrne would remain at the helm of The Late Late until 1999. Millions would also allow the Dubliner into their homes through the airwaves, with the Gay Byrne Show running on RTE Radio 1 for 25 years, and Uncle Gaybo presenting other favourites such as Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and The Meaning of Life. In 2004, the Irish Film and Television Awards honoured Gay Byrne with its Lifetime Achievement Award.
All right, that's it. It's been a fantastic carousel. I've enjoyed every minute of it. God bless you all and good night.
And the Taoiseach and President are leading the tribute this evening. Michael D. Higgins has described him as a man of great charisma, with effortless wit, charm and a flair for broadcasting. Taoiseach Leo Varadkar has also paid tribute.
So I'm really saddened to hear today of the death of Gay Byrne. Gay Byrne was a broadcaster, but he was also a change maker, somebody who really helped to transform, modernise and open up our country, allowed us to talk about things that were taboo, were never spoken about before. He's somebody who's going to be very missed by the country and by me personally as well.
A Donegal victim of clerical sex abuse has asked the Bishop of Raphoe to meet with himself, a number of other victims and the Chief Superintendent in Donegal to discuss the best way to handle allegations made in a TG Cahir documentary broadcast last week. Martin Gallagher, who was abused by Eugene Green in the 1980s, has given a guarded welcome to a statement issued on Friday by Bishop Al McGuckian, requesting that Gardaí investigate the allegations. However, Mr. Gallagher asked why such a statement wasn't issued sooner and also asked if Bishop McGuckian will require any priest against whom there are outstanding allegations to step aside.
If I was the bishop, if I was going to get somebody investigated, the first thing I would do is to suspend them from their duties pending this investigation. That would be a positive. Now, he does say dead and alive. Now, the ones that are alive can be suspended. There is no excuse not to do this.
Mr. Gallagher has also called on politicians to get behind him and others in their campaign for the truth. He says while there has been a huge response from the public, he's disappointed by the lack of support from public representatives.
With all the support we've had from the public, like throughout Ireland, UK, America and Australia, my biggest disappointment of the whole thing is that not one councillor or TD has contacted anybody or made any statements. If there's a pothole on the road, they're on the news right away telling everybody to fund it. The pothole seems to be more important to these TDs and councillors than the poor children that were abused and have lost their lives. So that leaves me in a state that I'm very angry with our politicians and our councillors, but they can't even acknowledge what's going on around them.
And this is something that no doubt deserves to be raised by councillors and TDs and senators at a local level and even a national level.
Of course it has. It's a major incident that has been going on for the last 30 years. And I think it's time for the TDs and councillors to stand up, take it to Dáil Éireann, ask for a cold case, ask for an investigation. Just acknowledge the fact that they are doing their job. But at the minute, like, it's if they don't exist. That is a big letdown, not just to me, to all victims, to the whole community, to all everybody that has gone to the effort of backing and supporting what we've done so far since this documentary came out. I can't understand, and there's no excuse for it, why they haven't reacted in any way whatsoever to contact me, Highland Radio, Radio Na Gaeltacht, or anything at all to voice their views on it. But they don't seem one bit concerned about it. If it was coming up to an election, they'd be at my door tapping themselves, but nothing at all. So I'm really disappointed with our representatives, if we can call them that, at this stage.
A major new report has warned Brexit could add fuel to the fire of paramilitary activity in the north. The Independent Reporting Commission says the level of violence remains serious and concerning. It's increased in the last year with 3 murders and over 80 punishment-style attacks. Of 9 examples listed involving dissident Republicans, 7 happened in Derry, including the murder of Lyra McKee. Stephen Murphy has more.
This is the second report from the IRC looking at paramilitary activity in the north. They say it remains a stark reality and is still a serious obstacle to peace. There's also a warning that ending paramilitary activity has become a lot more difficult. Tim O'Connor is Ireland's representative on the commission and says 2 major factors are playing a part.
Uncertainties like Brexit become a kind of a new fuel adding to that pre-existing fire. And we are also saying that the single biggest and most positive contributor to ending paramilitarism would be the return of political decision-making at Stormont.
The Commission says paramilitary violence has increased in the last year. There have been over 80 punishment-style attacks and 3 murders, including that of journalist Lyra McKee by dissident Republicans. Tim O'Connor fears similar incidents could happen again.
As long as paramilitarism continues and persists and has not been dealt with, then at the very minimum you're talking about risk. You're talking about a heightened level of risk.
The report calls for a redoubling of efforts to tackle paramilitary activity, and the commissioners are clear that imprisoning people can't be the only solution. They say socio-economic issues like poverty and mental health need to be addressed too.
And there's a link to the full report available on our website, highlandradio.com. Police in Vietnam are questioning 8 more suspects in connection with the deaths of 39 people whose bodies were found in a lorry in Essex. Officials from the country travelled to the UK yesterday in the hope of identifying victims following the discovery in Grays last month. Sky's Asia correspondent Tom Cheshire says the group is being held on suspicion of organising people smuggling overseas.
That's interesting because it's not trafficking. The difference between those two is that smuggling people involves some freedom of choice, although smuggling can become trafficking quite easily. So this suggests people did choose to go.
In response to the Transport Minister's review of the funding model for regional airports, Donegal Deputy Pat the Cope Gallagher says the public service obligation contract for Donegal Airport cannot be underestimated. Deputy Gallagher says removing the PSO from the airport would effectively be the same as signing its closure order. While he says this is unlikely, Deputy Gallagher says he will continue to monitor the outcome closely.
So now that they're looking at these again, I want to make it abundantly clear to the Minister and to the Department that without the public service obligation from Donegal Airport, it would be effectively be signing the closure order for the airport. Now, I don't believe this will happen, but it's vitally important that we exert the pressure on the Minister. And I spoke with the Council at the time, and I understand that the Council were making the submission as well as other interested bodies.
Is there a real cause for concern here, though? Because if the minister does carry out this review, and as you say, if he does see how heavily reliant that the airport is on this contract, surely he wouldn't pull it?
No, I'm not alarmed, but by the same token, it was important when he gave an opportunity to make submissions that we should make the submissions, because if he didn't, he might take the view that we didn't require this. Of course, the service couldn't continue, and it's going extremely well at the moment between Dublin to Carrickfinn and vice versa, and I use it regularly. So the minister is carrying out the review, but it's an all-encompassing review, and as far as Europe is concerned, they have experience of this. Any airport that was in within about 2 hours' drive to Dublin wouldn't be considered, so therefore that's why Sligo lost it, and so also did Knock. But I'm still confident, but we have to monitor this very closely.
Gardaí and Donegal are warning of yet another scam doing the rounds. In this instance, the scammers purporting to represent PayPal claim a payment has been sent and prompt the recipient to click the link in order to view details of the transaction. However, Gardaí are reminding people to never click any links within such emails, to delete the email, and if you have any queries in relation to the security of your PayPal account, to contact the company directly. The leader of Ireland's newest political party, AIM2, will be in Letterkenny this evening for a key public meeting on the ongoing beef crisis. The Donegal general election candidate and environmental activist Mary T. Sweeney is also chairing the meeting. AIM2 leader Padraig Tobin says their aim is to try and make all sectors in the beef industry profitable and are calling for cross-party support for a bill they have tabled on the issue. Mr. Tobin says tonight will also be an opportunity for local farmers to have their voices heard and urged all concerned to attend.
Currently we know there's a beef crisis. We know that beef farmers are earning on average about €8,000 a year, which is less than the dole, which is less than the pension at the moment. But we also know that other elements of the sector are making massive profits. So one particular factory made a profit of €170 million last year. It's tax resident in Luxembourg, paying very little tax. And it's radically unfair that this level of income inequality in the beef sector. And we're looking to make sure that all sectors of the beef industry is actually profitable and can make a living out of it. We have a new bill which will ban the below-cost selling of beef in the Irish market for a year. And we're asking the other political parties to get behind this bill so we can make sure that farmers can make a living.
And we know that there are a lot of farmers here locally that are affected by all those points that you have made. Very important that they do come out and attend this meeting tonight too, to make their concerns known to yourselves.
We do. We need farmers to show, to stand up for themselves in the manner that they did over the summer when they picketed the beef factories across the country. This crisis has not gone away. We have farmers living in poverty, being driven into debt, and many farmers being driven off the land altogether right across the country. So what we're trying to do is trying to make sure that farmers can make a healthy living for their families on the land. And to do that, we need to make sure that this bill passes. So we're asking for farmers right across Donegal to come to the public meeting tonight in Letterkenny.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure in Letterkenny, where their Christmas club is now open. Shop online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 5:15 and time for the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Well, after last Friday night's playoff win over Drogheda United, Finn Harps will stay in the Premier Division for next season. Well, what changes now lie ahead for the club, and will Ollie Horgan remain on as manager? Well, speaking with Greg Hughes on the 9 till noon show this morning, out of contract, Horgan says he needs more resources before he can commit to next season. He says discussions have to start now with the committee.
We're in the Premier Division, Greg, and it's great and a great weekend, but the reality hits in very early, and it hit in very early last year when we got promoted on Limerick, that unless things can change and unless we can look maybe outside of the window that we're looking at the moment, you know, it's difficult to know whether you want to give another year of your life to it.
That's it. That's what I was going to ask. When are you going to decide whether or not to sign a new contract?
You know, it hasn't even got to that. I mean, as regards contract and that, it's not about me. And believe you me, it's not about financial gain.
No, I get
me.
That.
In fact, you know, and the same with the management team. It's just if you could have, you know, that little bit extra in a budget to be able to attract people that could keep you in the Premier Division. And should you get the new stadium, or when it comes on board, please God, and the stadium committee have done great work, that we'd be in the Premier Division. But that itself you know, would be a big ask. But we'll see where it goes, and I'm sure that the board will make contact with me in the next day or two, because it's now it needs to be done as regards whether we can attract investment. You know, now when the iron is hot, Craig, is when we need to act rather than letting it go a couple of weeks.
And the stock is high at the moment, and if you're correct. Going to be talking to anyone, you can put a really tight argument to them now. I mean, is that a call to the powers that be to get in contact with you?
Absolutely, Greg. I mean, you know, my phone number isn't hard to get, and I give my time, you know, regardless of whether there's investment there or not, and I would love to meet people that would be interested in backing us. You know, it's difficult. Should we go down next year? And the chances are, as it stands at the moment, we will. We could be down there for many, many years as we were before.
Yeah. As you bid farewell to the players, you're not able to say to them, lads, well, definitely, look, it's going to be me here next year, next season.
Well, look, there's none of the players under contract for next year, Greg, to serve it. You know, they didn't, and we didn't know what division we'd be in. And we don't, and still don't know what budget we have. And that's not a complaint of anything to do with the board. They're brilliant, brilliant people who have kept the place through thick and thin, through big crowds, through small crowds, and have kept the place ticking over and surviving, and they deserve huge, huge credit. Can we kick on and at the crossroads go upwards as opposed to go back to the first division, which we've done before?
Ollie Horgan there speaking to Greg Hughes this morning on the prospect of what's ahead for next season. Well, on the pitch locally tonight in the Ulster Senior League, there's one game down for decision. Bonagie United there at home to Derry City Reserves. That one starts at 7:30. The John Gorey Curran Cup Final's on tonight as well. Lagan Harps playing Letterkenny Rovers. That one's on the Curra, also starting at 7:30. And the Donegal Youth League, the Shield, is on tonight. Gwydor United, they play Ene Celtic. A win for Gwydor would take the Shield, but if Ene managed to win, it'll go to another playoff. Elsewhere, Glenn Whelan's fitness is a doubt for the Republic of Ireland's crucial Euro 2020 qualifier against Denmark. A win for the boys in green will secure their place in next summer's finals. The 35-year-old limped off in Hearts Scottish League Cup loss to Rangers with a hamstring problem. Darren Randolph's expected to be fit in time for the game as he overcomes a thigh injury. And former Republic of Ireland international Rory Delap, he takes his first leap into football management later. He's the caretaker boss of Stoke, who are bottom of the championship after Nathan Jones was sacked. They welcome West Brom at 8 o'clock tonight. A win for the Baggies would see them go top. Well, Jurgen Klopp has stood to Sadio Mane's defence in the wake of Pep Guardiola's comments. The Liverpool striker was booked after going down in the box against Aston Villa at the weekend, which led to the City manager saying sometimes he dives and sometimes he scores. The Merseysiders take on City in the Premier League on Sunday and go in with a 6-point lead. Klopp says there was contact on Mane.
Sadio's not a diver. So it was a situation in the Aston Villa game where he got a contact and went down, and maybe it was not a penalty, but there was contact. It's not like jumping over a leg and do like he hit you or whatever. Just there was contact, and all the other penalties were penalties because he was in that situation, stayed there, and I'm 100% sure if something would happen like this for Man City, they would want to have a penalty because somebody kicked the player in the box and it's a penalty.
Everton, they have confirmed that Andre Gomes underwent surgery to repair a fractured ankle earlier today. The Portugal international suffered a horror break in yesterday's Premier League game with Spurs. Everton say the procedure went well and they expect Gomes to make a full recovery. And Cardiff City, they face a transfer ban following their dispute over a fee for Emiliano Sala, the player who died in a plane crash whilst travelling to the club. They signed the forward from Nantes for £15 million and FIFA say failure to pay the French team the first instalment could result in a transfer ban. But Cardiff argue they're not liable because Sala wasn't officially their player when he died. They will lodge an appeal with the Court of Arbitration for Sport. Elsewhere, Leeds goalkeeper Kiko Kasea has been charged with racially abusing Charlton's Jonathan Lecco during the team's championship match in September. Leeds say their player strenuously denies the accusation and that he's worked with the FA during its investigation. Kasea will have a personal hearing and the club say he'll remain available for selection in the meantime. Up in Scotland, Hibernian have sacked their manager Paul Heckenbottom. The Edinburgh club are 10th in the Scottish Premiership and conceded 5 goals to Celtic in Saturday's League Cup semi-final defeat. He'd been in charge for almost 9 months. In Gaelic games, all three Donegal teams in the Ulster Club Championship action at the weekend have made it through their respective ties. In the Junior Championship, Buncrana defeated Rock St Patrick's and will now play Blackhill of Monaghan in the final, while in the Intermediate Championship, St Noel's, they defeated St James of Antrim. They'll now play Galbally Pierces of Tyrone in the semi-final, while in the Senior Championship, Niamh Connell defeated Castlerahan in Breffni Park yesterday, and they will now play Monaghan's Clontibret O'Neills in their semi-final. The other semi-final in the Senior Championship sees Down champions Kilcoo play Derry Gonley Harps of Fermanagh. Here in Donegal, the vacant managerial positions for the Donegal under-20s and under-17s could be filled at tonight's county committee meeting. It's understood last year's minor manager Gary Duffy and former minor manager Sean Paul Barrett are both in contention for the under-20s position, while Luke Barrett is the sole candidate for the under-17s job. And finally for this evening, in rugby, World Cup winner with South Africa, Damien Delahandry will sign for Munster. The Irish Times is reporting the centre will join the Reds on a 2-year deal from the start of the 2020-2021 season. He's made 45 appearances for the Springboks, including in the World Cup final win against England at the weekend. Well, that's all your sport for this evening. The next sport here in Highland will be after the 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning. For the moment, it's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. And finally in news, the Irish Embassy in Turkey is working with local officials to arrange to bring Lisa Smith and her daughter home. The Taoiseach just says he doesn't expect a breakthrough in the case for a number of weeks. The Dundalk native is in a safe house on the Turkish-Syrian border. Simon Coveney says members of the Defence Forces are assisting in the operation.
We have assistance from Defence Force personnel with our team in the embassy in Turkey, and they are working with the Turkish authorities to try and make progress on this case. But I don't think it's helpful to speculate on the back of rumour, which has been happening in recent days.
Weather now cloudy with a few showers this evening. Clear spells developing with lowest temperatures of 4 to 7 degrees. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, RTE broadcaster Gay Byrne has died at the age of 85. A statement issued this afternoon says Mr. Byrne died peacefully at home, surrounded by his family. A Donegal victim of clerical sex abuse has asked the Bishop of Raphoe to meet with himself, a number of other victims and the Chief Superintendent in Donegal to discuss the best way to handle allegations made in a TG Cahir documentary broadcast last week. Martin Gallagher also says while there has been huge response from the public, he's disappointed by the lack of support from public representatives. A major new report has warned Brexit could add fuel to the fire of paramilitary activity in the north. The Independent Reporting Commission says the level of violence has increased in the last year, with 3 murders and over 80 punishment-style attacks. Of 9 examples listed involving dissident Republicans, 7 happened in Derry, including the murder of Lyra McKee. And Gardaí and Donegal are warning of yet another scam doing the rounds. In this instance, the scammers purporting to represent PayPal claim a payment has been sent and prompt the recipient to click the link in order to view the details of the transaction. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The epigenetics for this Monday evening, the 4th of November. The death has occurred at his home of Dan Phil Beg Boyle, Fallagown, Aranmore Island. His remains are being waked at his daughter Rose's home at Fallagown, Aranmore Island. Funeral mass on Wednesday morning at 11 in St Cronus Church, Aranmore, with interment in the adjoining cemetery. The death has occurred of James O'Donnell, Tuberkeen, Dunloe. James's remains will repose at Midlin's funeral home tomorrow from 6 o'clock with rosary at 9 o'clock. Removal to St Cronus Church, Dunloe on Wednesday for 10 o'clock funeral mass with interment afterwards in the old cemetery. The death has occurred of Mary Shields, Trainkeel, Breena. Mary's remains will repose at her late residence from 6:30 this evening. Funeral mass on Wednesday morning at 11 in St Columba's Church, Glenswilly, with interment afterwards in the family plot at Kilfeek Cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. Family flowers only, please. The death has occurred of Eamon McNulty, formerly of Main Street, Stranorder. His remains are reposing at his former home at Main Street, Stranorder. Funeral from there on Wednesday morning at 20 to 11, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock in the Church of Mary Immaculate, Stranorder, with interment afterwards in St Patrick's Churchyard, Crossroads, Killigordon. House strictly private, please, at the request of the deceased. The death has occurred of Margaret Peggy Kelly, Railway Road, Killigordon. Her remains are reposing at her home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:30 for Requiem Mass in St Patrick's Church, Crossroads, Killigordon at 11 o'clock, with interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, if desired, to Active Age, CAKE Centre, Killigordon, care of any family member. Family time, please, from 11 o'clock tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. The death has taken place of Angus Stewart, the Rowan, Lifford, and formerly of Glensmoyle, Lifford. His remains are reposing at his home. Funeral from there on Wednesday morning at 10:15 for Requiem Mass in St Patrick's Church, Murlock, at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Friends of Lifford Hospital, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. The death has occurred of Billy Campbell, late of 40 Ashley Court, Castlederg, formerly of Alt Upper, Castle Finn. Billy's remains are reposing at his late home. Funeral from there tomorrow afternoon at 1:30 for service at 2 o'clock in Alt Presbyterian Church. Interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. And the death has taken place of Tony Boyle, 115 Ardpatrick, Glenties. His remains will repose at his sister Margaret O'Kane's residence at Narn Portnew until 10 o'clock tonight. Removal from there tomorrow morning at 10:15, going to St Connell's Church, Glenties, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass. Burial afterwards in the local cemetery. Family time, please, on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of James McGuinness, Funeral Director, or any family member.